Canucks Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A lot to get into. It's rare that hockey is the biggest sports story in North America, but the Four Nations Faceoff has accomplished this feat to make hockey the number one sports story in all of North America.
And honestly, like for all the faults of the NHL, and there are many.
Yeah.
The timing of this tournament is also perfect.
It is absolutely perfect. Don't ever tell me about having or wanting to see this in September. No.
No.
This is the perfect time on the calendar to do it.
And more people are going to be watching it right now. You're right, coming off the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball hasn't started yet.
Nope.
It's NBA All-Star Weekend. So it's like, whatever.
I just threw up in my mouth thinking about it.
And there's like, golf hasn't really gotten going. No major tennis tournaments going on. Like, it's the perfect spot to do it. And they did it exactly at that time. And they've had a very compelling product.
Yes. It's been incredible. The hockey has been incredible. Nobody is sitting here doubting that. You have all kinds of like shows and podcasts out of the U.S. being like, I think I just gave up basketball for hockey now. Like, I'm just going to be a hockey guy now. It's like, when was the last time you saw this happen? It reminds me again of 30 years ago, that Sports Illustrated, front cover with Canucks and Rangers on the cover. And it's like, why hockey's hot and basketball is not. And obviously, the two sports went in very different directions. But right now, you know, hockey is in a very good spot, and they've absolutely maximized the time on the calendar with this Four Nations tournament. It's been a brilliant success, a roaring success, and there's lots to get into with your Vancouver Canucks. Let's hit it with the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And there is a lot with the Vancouver Canucks, actually. They returned to practice today. So they were down at Rogers Arena. Arshdeep Bains is the number one center now because Elias Pettersson will eventually be back. Well, I just heard somebody in the background be like, is he really the number one center still? I don't know. I don't know if he is. All kidding aside, Pettersson and Lankinen will rejoin the team. Thatcher Demko, though, is still not with the team. And the injury that saw him leave the game, the last Canucks game, the win over the Toronto Maple Leafs, that was said to not be serious, or Rick Tocchet thought at the end of that game that it wasn't too serious, is now going to keep him out for, if you include the 2 weeks they've been off, for the Four Nations Faceoff, and he's going to not travel for the road trip, which is a five-gamer. We're looking at a three-week absence of Thatcher Demko. So
I mean,
a little bit more than not too serious, but maybe, I guess we're trying to define serious right now.
Yeah, it's like, it's semantics. It's almost like Ross Atkins.
You say not serious, I think like day-to-day.
Yeah.
You know? I guess not serious could be like he doesn't need surgery.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, Thatcher Demko's last serious injury kept him out for months.
Yes. And he missed 8 months of action.
And we still can't even, you know, pronounce the muscle injury that he had, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it took a very long time for him to overcome those things. So I guess that's serious, and anything shorter than that is not quite as serious. Semantics again. But it's also why a lot of people are rightfully skeptical anytime they hear injury updates from the Canucks, right? Now, hey, listen, when it comes to injuries and diagnoses and things of that nature, it's not an exact science always. You always leave room for things, you know, not going a certain way.
But Philip Pronik came back sooner than expected.
Yes. But at the same time, we're not talking about the odd occasion it doesn't line up. It's quite often that we've heard, you know, this somebody from the team say, hey, he's fine, it's nothing big, and then it turns out to be weeks.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
I would just put like a long timeline on every single injury. You know, it's like setting low expectations so that that way you never upset anybody.
So when they say not serious, you say that it's going to be a month.
Every injury is going to be like, a season-ending injury.
He might be out for 3 months, and then he comes back after a month. Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a modern miracle.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things, right? Like, okay, you know, whether it's fair or not, because again, we don't know enough about the situation, the nature of what happened and all those things, but you can understand why people are skeptical. And it's also a greater issue here again, because the NHL allows people and teams to be, the way they are not disclosing injuries, right? So it's what the league allows. It's not so much about what teams are doing. It's more about the league allows this to happen, but we don't need to have that discussion. I think the biggest issue here is, how is this absence yet again for Thatcher Demko going to impact this team on the ice short term? And what does it mean big picture long term because of his stature? He has a contract for next year. You have Kevin Lankin in the sign. Every time something happens with Demko, good or bad, it creates so many other questions. And now we're having all the tough questions.
I don't like, okay, the Canucks have signed Marcus Pettersson. They've also signed Drew O'Connor, which we'll get to in a couple of moments. That was today's news as well. 2 years for Drew O'Connor. But, I mean, every Thatcher Demko injury, every day, every game that Kevin Lankinen plays, and I know, you know, he got pulled out of the Canada game. I'm not sure that had too much to do with him and how he was playing in the game so much as Canada was just extremely motivated to get back to their revenge against the U.S. on Thursday.
They had already burned their timeout as well, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what else do you do?
Kevin Lankinen was pretty much the sacrificial lamb in the situation. But, you know, he played incredibly well in the game against Sweden.
Yeah, the reason they won.
The reason they won, makes the big save in overtime, and then somehow Backheel kicks it up to the up for Mikael Granlund to score the goal and keep the play going. But I mean, like, it just seems like this guy's increasing his value through his play, through circumstance with the Canucks, no matter what happens. And now you're getting to a point, like, sure, there's other goalies out there, but you always like the one that you know and the one that you see fit into your system pretty well, fit with your group pretty well. You're always going to put some extra value on that. And I just, the more time goes on, the harder it is to walk away from Kevin Lankinen right now.
Yeah, I totally understand that sentiment. It's when you have some familiarity and you've seen success, especially in a very difficult position to really harness as goaltending is, I totally understand the want and desire to keep Lankinen here. But I think this is also a reason why Lankinen and his camp have been very comfortable waiting when it comes to talking contract, because we were having this discussion heading into the break under the assumption that Demko was going to be okay and fine when the Canucks come back. Obviously, that's not true. But if that were to have been the case, then it would have been hard for Lankinen to get a lot of starts between now and the end of the season. You're into the final third of the campaign, right? And how many games is he truly going to play over that stretch? And if Demko is really good, what does that do to his argument for making more money? Well, now he's going to be the guy, at least for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And given that Demko's coming off another injury, can you afford to give Demko the net and run with it at any point? Can you afford to be like, hey, yeah, you start 4 out of 5 games or 3 out of 4 even? I don't think you can based on what you've seen here with all these injuries. Whether it's fair or not, again, we don't know what happened, but he had the back spasm thing. Now he has this injury.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can rely on him being healthy this season, right? So Lankinen is going to play out of the final, 20-odd-some games, 18 of them?
Yep. There's no way you can, like, you can't even explore the idea of trading Lankinen as a rental.
Oh, right?
That's not even a part of the equation, so please don't text it in, 650-650 at the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. That's gone. You need Lankinen if you are going to remain competitive. He is your best goalie right now, your most reliable goalie, because Demko, you can't rely on to be in the net and to be available to make these starts. Now you have Artur Shilov's back up with the team. He had a tough year to start, has not had a great season in the AHL with a sub-900 save percentage the last time I checked, and he's going to start one of these two games coming right out of the gate on the weekend. You would think they start with a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday.
Well, it's not like Lankinen's been off for 2 weeks. He's just finished starting 2 games at the Four Nations.
So he did get a little bit of rest, but, you know, he was practicing, he was working, you know, he played in games.
Yeah, and he'll have
at
to
a high level.
And he'll be traveling. I'm sure he's been headed, he's back to Vancouver, or close to being back to Vancouver now, so he has a little bit of time here before they play, but I don't think that's a smart position to put him in, especially considering the risk of injury. What if Lankinen gets hurt? What would you rather risk? Losing the 2 points with Shilov starting the game, or risking losing Lankinen to injury because you put him in a bad spot?
You would definitely go with the Shilovs option. Yes.
Can Shilovs at the same time now, though, give...
Surprise you? Can the Canucks... rediscovered defensive structure, so put him in a better position for success.
So minimum two starts for Shilovs, right?
Yeah.
There are two back-to-backs coming up on this five-game road trip for the Canucks.
Yeah.
So he's getting minimum two starts.
Mm-hmm.
Can he get at least a point?
Man, I would hope so, yeah. Yeah,
I'm not even being ironic or sarcastic. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Staring me down, like, are you sure about that? I don't know.
I'm just asking. I'm not trying to be a smartass about it or anything. I'm just asking, like, because that's the way he's played the last few games with Vancouver. It was really rough, and I think, can you at least get something out of those games? To me, two would be amazing, but can you at least get 1 point out of those two games? Because that's how little faith I have in Shilovs right now playing at the NHL level.
It's yeah,
and I know he's been better recently at the AHL, but. AHL, NHL, very different.
He's had a really tough season. You would hope Marcus Pettersson, the newfound defensive structure, Canucks would put Shilovs in a better spot to have success. That's really where you're at right now, because the last visions we saw of Artur Shilovs were not the best. The other part of this, too, Lankinen is played 34 games. His career high is 37. Which he hasn't done since the 2020-2021 season. The last 2 years, he played 24 games last year, 19 the year prior with the Nashville Predators. Very much a backups workload. So now you're getting into unprecedented territory for Kevin Lankinen and what his workload has been at the National Hockey League level for his career. And really at the pro level, there's... only one situation in the Finnish league in 2017 where he played 42 games. That would be the max he's gone to in any pro situation, according to HockeyDB. So we're in unprecedented territory for Kevin Lankinen as well. This is not a very confidence-inducing situation for the Vancouver Canucks right now.
It's not. Now, the positive is, and this is kind of where it's frustrating too at the same time, because we were hoping that after the Four Nations, with Quinn taking some time off, Demko hopefully overcoming whatever quote-unquote minor ailment that they had hoped he was going through, was going to clear up. And now we were going to see the Canucks be at full strength defensively and hopefully get a better Pettersson. And we'll get to that later, if that's going, you know, especially with the Four Nations or whatever. And now you have questions again about goaltending. But one thing I think was pretty evident, at least in the small sample we saw before the break, the Canucks played really well defensively.
Yes.
Adding Marcus Pettersson, having Quinn back, like they should have a far better environment in front of their goaltenders this time around.
Yes.
So they shouldn't be asking as much of these guys as they have, especially earlier this season. And can that at least help you get through it? I think that's what you're kind of hoping here through this. Like the positive being that, hey, at least we can play better and be tighter defensively. And can they generate a bit more offense and overcome some of these issues?
The only problem is, like, yes, the environment's gotten better, but your goalies are mostly in a situation where they can't give up more than two goals a game because your offense doesn't do enough at the other end. So it's like, yeah, you might only get 22 shots or 25 shots, but you better make at least 23 saves because we need that for us to have a chance of winning.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what you have to eliminate a little bit.
The Canucks goalies have to be near perfect for them to win hockey games with the way the offense has gone this year.
Yeah, and I think you have to increase that margin.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen better as far as some offensive contributions. I know losing JT's been really tough, obviously, but we've seen at least with the pace.
But their process has been better.
Can they maintain that? That's going to be the other question here, right? Like, it's going to have to be the team overcoming all this.
Yeah.
And it makes it harder now, right? Because you're taking away a real strong goaltender and an option for the team, at least for this road trip. And when we're talking about the final stretch into the season here, this five-game road trip is pretty massive.
Yeah.
Like, before we know it, the season's going to be over. You know, like, these points here are very critical moving forward.
Raymond says, most Canuck thing ever, going from two number one centers and a franchise goalie to none of that.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin Lankinen has been pretty good this year for the Vancouver Canucks, and hopefully Demko's injury We'll get more intel as the day goes on, but we don't have a lot right now.
Yeah, I mean, Nathan Nkomox, he's somewhat optimistic but yet pessimistic, says, I would put all my money on Shilov's finding his game before Pedersen does. So Nathan, he doesn't quite believe. Now, Erica says, didn't Shilov win both games of the back-to-back for Abbotsford? Listen, he's been playing well recently for Abbotsford. I'm not disputing that. It's more about what is it going to look like at the NHL level, and what it looked like for Shilov at the NHL level. His last two starts was really rough, right? We're talking about 9 goals he gave up combined those two games with a save percentage sub 850.
So now in 14 games, as he's played well recently, as some of our listeners have pointed out, 906 save percentage. So it's jumped up a bit from where it was a while ago, 10-4 record. So those are good signs for Artur Shilov that he's playing better there. I'm just, you know, hard to have a lot of confidence in what we saw early this year at the NHL level. And he's going to have to play 2 games on this road trip as it stands right now, we think, because Canucks have back-to-backs 22nd and 23rd in Vegas and Utah, and then 26th, 27th in Los Angeles and Anaheim.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when it comes to the goaltending thing, I think we've covered a lot of the issues, and we'll see what happens, and we'll talk again about Lankinen and how he plays by the end of the year. Again, if he plays really well towards the end of the year, can he get $4 million plus? Like, we'll see. Again, it all depends on what he does, but the Canucks are gonna have to generate more offense.
Yes,
and one of the guys they brought in, who they just signed to a 2-year extension, has looked really good. Can he be one of those guys we talked about down the stretch here to provide more offense for you? Because that's what they're gonna have to do, right? I know we hear the by committee thing, but especially if Pedersen, EP40, isn't going to have his A game, they're really going to need all these other guys to contribute at a high level. Can they get somebody to punch above their weight, so to speak?
No pressure, guys. All right, quickly into the Canucks Central roundup before we get to Chris Pronger, 2-time gold medalist, Hockey Hall of Famer, all of that, Hart Trophy winner as well, going to join us in a little bit. Let's start there. Drew O'Connor signs a 2-year extension with the Vancouver Canucks at $2.5 million per, $5 million total value. So it's a little bit of an uptick from where Danton Heinen was. And while a little bit higher than what we thought, hypothesized the number would look, I think we kind of just, I'm at a stage where I'm like, whatever I think a guy is worth, I got to tack on at least another $500K due to where the salary cap is headed.
Yeah, and I think we kind of talked about how I had a hard time seeing it being 2 years. Like, if it was going to be, you know, under 2.5, it was going to have to be like a longer term deal, I think. But even so, for Drew O'Connor, is it better for him to just sign a 2-year deal? But it's a bit more than what Heinen got. Heinen has a bit higher scoring rates, but I think the profile that Drew O'Connor has is more rare than Danton Heinen, and I think more sought after than Danton Heinen. So I do understand why there's a slight increase, $250K more, also with the cap going up. So to me, it makes sense based on the market rate for that type of player. I'm glad that they kept it to 2 years. Like, I had no interest in a long-term deal here, and I'm hoping that Drew O'Connor is a big hit. But the fact that you kept it under $3 million, you kept it under 3 years, to me, is very positive. I think it's a very easy contract to manage the next couple of years. And if he plays really well for 2 years, guess what? The cap's going up. You can afford to keep him if you really want to.
It really is a bit of a bet. Like, he is still pretty young, 26, right? Mm-hmm. So he's getting into his prime years. Last year, he provided similar value to that of Dakota Joshua, maybe less, but like similar value to Dakota Joshua. This year, he's had a down year, shooting percentage down, all those things. Can he rediscover some of that? He seems to get himself into a lot of good spots. Canucks are playing him in a top six role, so there might be some value, untapped value here in Drew O'Connor. That's a bit of the bet that the Canucks are making with this player. Quinn Hughes was in a non-practice red jersey, but was a full participant in Canucks practice today. USA coach Mike Sullivan said earlier today that Quinn was going to join Team USA, to which I was like, Baka! That's Quinn Hughes' music! And now it seems like that's less. Yeah.
Quinn Hughes is coming.
So good. Quinn Hughes is coming.
Quinn Hughes is coming.
And now it doesn't seem like that's for sure the case here, is the U.S. would need one more injury to officially add Quinn Hughes to the roster.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very it gives you conflicted feelings. Like, I understand Canucks fans are like, we don't want Quinn to get hurt.
Yes.
We also want Canada to win.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you want to see Quinn on the stage.
Yes.
Like, one of my big takeaways watching Canada and the U.S. on Saturday was the fact that we didn't see Makar and Quinn go head-to-head.
Yeah.
Like, I want to
see either
best.
Of them.
No, exactly. And, yeah, it's great for Canada, and your chances of winning if Quinn doesn't play and Makar is playing, sure, it helps you. But I don't know. I kind of want to see Canada going up against Quinn, and I want to see the Canadians beat the Americans with Quinn Hughes. Like, I don't know. Like, I kind of want to see the best go head-to-head in the big final game, right?
To borrow a quote from one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Ric Flair, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And Quinn Hughes is the best. He's the best defenseman in hockey. Sure, we can debate all day whether it's Quinn Hughes or Cale Makar. Five people might come out on Cale Makar. Five of us might come out on Quinn Hughes. But bottom line is, they are the two best defensemen in the game. They should both be playing for USA and Canada on Thursday. If Quinn Hughes is now available to play, I assume he pulled out because he wasn't going to be able to play in any of these round-robin games. Didn't know how long it was going to take to get hurt. He's talked even today after Canucks practice. He talked about how agonizing it was for him to bow out of the tournament. Just let him play. I don't see the reason to not let him play. If I'm a Canadian player, I want Quinn Hughes playing. I don't want any of this like, well, we didn't have our best defenseman. You know, just get Quinn Hughes in the game and find a way to make it work. This is a made-up tournament anyways. Make up the rules as you go along. You've already done that to a certain extent. Keep making them up as we go along.
Well, did they? I mean, because like the Harley thing he came up with, he didn't play until somebody else got hurt.
Yeah, but this is the first.
Like, technically, it's still consistent.
Yes, it was an illness, though.
Yeah, but he still didn't play.
Well, I mean, who's going to go Tanya Harding on Nancy Kerrigan then? Sorry, Jake Sanderson. Make sure you don't get any food poisoning. I wouldn't eat for the next 48 hours if I was Jake Sanderson.
Is that good? Or is that going to help for
her?
Now
he's going to miss the game because he hasn't eaten in 24 hours.
He's famished before the game.
He's not in condition to play because he hasn't eaten for 48 hours.
Or he'll be like absolutely a maniac because he's like angry.
Like the tournament's been so good and it would be that much better. Like the NHL... Like, let's call it what it is. It's the Four Nations face-off. It is probably, and hopefully, the first and last edition of this event because I do want to see a more full-fledged World Cup 4 years from now or 3 years from now, whenever it's going to be in 2028. We don't need to see another Four Nations face-off. You have USA, Canada, best on best. Quinn Hughes wants to play. He's available to play. Get him in the game. To me, there's really no issue. And if I'm Team Canada, maybe outside of Rick Tocchet, who's like, eh. Maybe Quinn can stay back so I can have at least one superstar to coach for the rest of the season in Vancouver. Then maybe outside of that, then I would be all on board with Quinn.
Do you think Sullivan got us to do exactly what he wanted us to do?
100%.
To talk about this and the media and Canadians be like, you know what? Let Quinn play. Why not?
They already knew that the NHL was going to say, no, you can't have Quinn Hughes in the game.
But if it becomes this big push?
But if he says Quinn Hughes is coming to join Team USA... Now everybody wants to see Quinn. Now it's on Team Canada. Like, hey, they look like cowards if Quinn doesn't play in the game. They should want Quinn to play.
So Canada is going to go after the NHL and campaign for Quinn to play?
They should.
To go against their own self-interest? Yes.
To be the best, you got to beat the best. You know, that's the way it should be.
They really think we're marks, right? And maybe they're right. Maybe they're right.
Probably. So... That's the way I see it. We'll see what happens over the next 24 hours. Elliot Friedman saying that it's very much up in the air, but unless the NHL has a softening of the rules or a U.S. player gets injured in some way, shape, or form, cannot play on Thursday, then it doesn't really make sense for Quinn to go from Vancouver to Boston and then fly out to Vegas for Saturday's game with the Vancouver Canucks if he's not going to play.
Yeah. And I mean,
that makes sense.
Yeah. I think it's good that he's here and that they went with the right process. It would have been dumb to have Quinn just practice with them and then not play.
Yeah.
So,
all right. The uncomfortable part of the conversation in the Canucks Central Roundup. Elias Pettersson, 0 points in the tournament. Played less than 10 minutes in Sweden's final game. Their only win of the tournament, by the way. And he kind of played like Elias Pettersson has all season long. There was moments where he was fine. There was moments where you wished he would have shot the puck when he had clear opportunities to shoot, and he didn't. So it's a lot of the same from Elias Pettersson. And as we said here on the show, don't expect Elias to just flip a switch and be old Elias Pettersson again.
No, and listen, we talked about it going into the break. You hope that there is some magic that can be found. And, you know, we talked about it being kind of like magic beans.
Yeah.
You know, and, I've been mentioning that we're grasping at straws when it comes to trying to find outs here for Pettersson and find ways off ramps from his struggles into success. And it very much was grasping at straws, because there's nothing you saw during the Four Nations that made you feel like a turnaround's around the corner. If anything, you felt better about how he played the final game before the break than how he played over the three games or over the Four Nations. But I'm not surprised at all. Like, I wasn't expecting him, Reach, to go from being what he's been with Vancouver to all of a sudden flipping a switch and being a star at the Four Nations. Yeah. It just didn't make any sense. Like, there was no evidence for that to happen. You know, like, there isn't just this magical moment that can happen for these players. And if that were to have been the case, it would have created bigger questions anyways.
Where was this all year?
Yeah. And if it was that easy, why don't you just flip the switch? Like, it's not that simple, right?
There's a lot more there. We'll have to talk about that a little bit more, maybe with Don Taylor after 5 o'clock. As it comes. All right, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, 2-time Olympic gold medalist, Hart Trophy winner, Chris Pronger, Stanley Cup champion, Hall of Famer, all of it. He's going to join us next on Sportsnet 650.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there, Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.